This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
205 DGS on KMOX. Want to say a little something. I've been telling you guys about my adventures with No One Dies Alone, and I did my first vigil on Monday night with a gentleman named Ray. I can say that now. You can say their first name unless it's something incredibly unique. And Ray passed away last night about 6 p.m. And it really got me. Like and I was talking to Andrew about this, and it really is relative that the two and a half hours I spent with Ray was so meaningful, right? And it was just so unlike anything I've ever done, and impactful to me, and hopefully meaningful to him. When someone is literally hours away, and even if all you're doing is putting like a cool towel in their head or playing music, it just, he got into me. Mm-hmm. And so when I got that text last night, he had passed away. It was just like a relative.
Mm-hmm. It's
a human connection.
That's the thing, is what you're doing is a very personal thing, mm-hmm. right? It's not a meet and greet and shake
Incredibly.
Hands and a short conversation.
Incredibly
it's
so.
A very personal thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we all have things where, I mean, for us, like where we perform and where we, use all these different facets of ourselves, and I've done it for 24 years now, and with this, that's all out the window.
Yep.
There's no performative. There's no, hey, it's Dave Glover. It's just Dave, which I love.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's also, it just reaches in and grabs you by the spine and shakes you.
Yeah.
I would, is that link still up, Rach, somewhere? I don't know how Facebook works, where people can volunteer if they want to.
Yeah, it's still up on our Facebook.
We've had several people from the show volunteer and go through the training and become NOTA volunteers now, which I think they should start calling the Night Watch, because that's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, I can't recommend it highly enough. And you don't have to do that. You can do the Care and Comfort, which I'm also doing with a couple of people, where you just visit them, you bring them apple pies, or you know, before they're in that position, like
right.
when they're still able to talk and to have conversations and to appreciate things like that, which is just as important as being there during the final hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say, go easy, Ray.
Yeah, I think a lot of I'm sure a lot of people hearing it don't fully see it, you know what I'm saying? Because like I haven't been in that situation, but well, I mean, not in the way you're talking
yeah.
about. But it's such a, what's the right word? It's a selfless thing, no matter who's doing it, right? Because other than knowing that you're doing something good for someone, right? You're getting that.
That's right.
But it's not about that. And it's about the person on the other side.
And that's what is so important to me, because I've talked about this really openly, that having a 24-year career as a quote-unquote celebrity, I put myself in the very bottom of that. I'm a local radio guy in St. Louis. No one outside of here knows me or cares. But putting on the blazer and the boots and showing up and emceeing an event or you know, raising money for a charity, that comes easily to me. That's in my wheelhouse. I like the credit. I've admitted, like, I had to really have a conversation with myself about 10 years ago and make sure you're doing these things for the right reasons. There's no amount of credit on earth that could get me to go into someone's room who's about to pass away and who might take their last breath in your presence and your presence alone. There's no amount of accolades that would get me to do that, because it goes against everything. It's everything I'm afraid of. It's everything that disturbs me. And that's why I'm so passionate about this. And you may fall into that category for another reason. Maybe mm-hmm. you're a CEO, maybe whatever it is. This is completely focused on that person, which is what I love. which is why I'm going to keep doing it.
Yep.
Razor's Edge?
Absolutely. So I wanted to talk to you guys about something I kind of overheard last week. I was on the cusp of a conversation between our boss, Becky, and Ryan Wiggins. They were talking about Ryan's kids and Becky's kids and how they play sports. And Becky turned to Ryan and asked him a very interesting question, I thought. She said, does your son love to win or does he hate to lose?
Hmm.
I know. And, you know, Ryan thought about it for a little bit and gave his answer. But it got me curious, like, about you guys, when it, especially Dave and Wheels, like, playing as many sports as you guys did. Like, what was your motivation? Was it, did you love to win or did you hate the feeling of losing?
To me, they're tied together. They're the same. Like, they go together. It's a sliding scale, right? Because you love the feeling of winning, you hate losing. And because you hate the feeling of being on the wrong end, that pushes you towards working towards the win. I can't, I know everybody's different. I can't separate them, which is why I have to take not serious things not seriously. I can't get into that competitive mode about things that that are not a big deal to me, because then I become that guy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. One of, Rach, you know this. I mean, you've been with me a long time. One of my worst character traits is I'm a terrible loser. Always have been.
Yeah.
And I remember we in law school, we had a really good softball team. I was just talking about this with my buddy Noel the other day. Noel Nespasianos, we had breakfast. He was on my softball team. And we were playing for the championship of this league, a nothing league, a beer league. It's just a bunch of guys with bellies, right? And we were in a championship game, and it was I was in the position to win or lose the game. And I came up to bat. And I remember Billy Margulis, who's a lawyer in town now, I heard him say, no one I'd rather have up than glove. And I was just like, and all I had to do was get a hit. That's all I had to do. Didn't need a home run, didn't need a grand slam. All I needed to do was get a hit. I was really good at getting hits, but the left fielder was playing in on me, and I decided to go over his head. And so I hit it, and he caught it, and we lost. And I think about that weekly. This is 1988.
Yeah.
And I think about that. Isn't that crazy? Noel didn't even remember.
Yeah.
You could have told me that you had a grand slam and won. I wouldn't have remembered that.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Like, I remember the good and the bad going back to even being a little kid, like playing Little League games. I can remember a game where I made the last out of a game that would have sent us to another level, another tournament. I remember games where I got the game-winning hit. I mean, I can remember it now. I don't, but when I do get into things like softball or whatever, that's off. My brain is off of that. If I go there, I go there, and it doesn't. I don't want those things to have meaning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about you, Rach?
I think I hate to lose. And I don't really know what that says about me, because I get what Wheels is saying, but I look at them as two different things. Like, I think because whenever I do have a win, I feel so amazing. Like if I'm able to really nail an interview or something, you've heard me, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I feel
sure.
So good. This is so great. But that's not really like my motivating factor. I'm more motivated by not wanting to look
stupid.
If
you're like me, the feeling of winning is awesome, but fleeting. And like I said, I remember a loss from 1988. So it's more impactful to me when I lose than it is when I win.
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel this. I kind of take a win and I go like, well, that was a fluke. Like, I don't know if I just have like low self-esteem
or
something.
But
just like, oh, well, that I can't chase that feeling forever. But if I can avoid looking stupid and looking like a loser, I will do everything I can to to meet that goal.
Yeah,
so
that's an interesting question.
I hate to lose. What, Andrew, do you have a...
Yeah, I'm able to extricate them pretty easily, I think. I do like to win. You know, when I go do my competitive stuff, I enjoy winning very much. I wouldn't say it's fleeting. I'm able to enjoy my wins.
You know, you're not a bad loser.
Yeah.
No,
I've not seen that from you.
I'm not. When you lose as much as I do, Dave, you gotta learn to roll with it. It doesn't bother me too much. There are times where I, like when I'm playing Magic or whatever, I'll lose directly because I made a stupid mistake, and those will haunt me. But you know, I feel like athletes kind of have to be this way too with their sports, just because you're gonna lose sometimes. Like, if you're the best, you know, If you're the best baseball player in the world, you're still probably missing more than you're hitting.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I think that's kind of what ties into me. But if I had to, if you guys said you have to pick one, like, because to me they are connected. But if I had to pick one that is the driving force, then it's the winning. That's what pulls me back in, is with that idea that there's something to achieve and that's what I want.
Because if you hate to lose, you can just not compete.
Right. And I'm a very competitive person. So I think that if I have to pick between the two, the drug is the winning. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the holy crap, I got to do that again. And I need to do that again. And yeah. I need to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to kind of shift my mindset into more like that, because Dave really just hit on something there. Like, I will not, I will avoid putting myself out there because I don't want to fail. I don't want to look stupid.
I did that for a really, really long time. And then once I started putting myself into the conversation, so to speak, I do not regret that at all.
Right. I mean, I feel the same way about, like, when I started my show on the weekends. Like, I could have very easily just not done that and not dealt with. It's not like people are talking about the show, but, you know, in your darkest moments, you're like, oh, people hate this. People are making fun of me. People don't think I'm doing a good job. But then it's just like, well, whatever. I got to do another episode this week, so you better keep going. So you kind of get used to that feeling of just like, all right. I basically what I'm saying is, like, I'm on the path towards chasing the win, but I feel like for most of my life, it's been hating to lose.
Isn't it interesting, though, that, you know, I met you when you were 21 and an intern, and then you joined the show 8 years ago, and you have a show on KMOX.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
And you lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Like, that is a life-fulfilling thing. Whether it's a daytime show, a weekend show, whatever it is, someone thought you were good enough to give you a show on KMOX radio, and you still kind of crap on it now and then, the same way I do mine. It's human nature, but it's like sometimes you have to pull back or have someone remind you that you have a show on KMOX. You should be very proud.
Yeah. One of my big goals for this year, I've been very successful at it, and it's been great, is I'm trying to celebrate the wins more, right?
Good for you.
Just when the good things happen, whether they just happen on their own or I make them happen or whatever it might be, when good things happen, I try to linger. You know, it's so easy to blow past the good things mm-hmm. and then linger on the bad things. Mm-hmm. Just like, mm-hmm. okay, good thing's good. I don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
And then linger on the bad. But it's nice to linger on the good sometimes.
This is one of the best things about the world I've lived in as a sports person. Because you see the very best in the world fail all the time. And then you realize everybody fails. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everybody sucks at something, right? They're not all good at everything.
The other day when the blues guy threw out the first pitch.
right.
He couldn't throw a ball.
Yeah, Jake Neighbors couldn't throw a ball. All right. And so they're like everybody, the best of the best of the best, have things that they are bad at. They're just good at the one, not just good at the one thing, but they're known for that. But also, when you watch, Michael Jordan failed before he was Michael Jordan. You know, like you learn that, and that's true of everybody around you.
Amen. 223 DGS. I think this will interest you guys. Well, I know it will because you're on the show, and I think it will interest the listeners, and you'll see why in a second. So I work for probably the biggest radio company in the world, at least the top three, Odyssey. And they will take shows and they will put them in other markets or make them national. Or we have like a guy on KZK who's from Kansas City. And they are looking at the DGS to do that with, to put us in other cities or to make us national or something, which is exciting. It would have been more exciting for me 10 years ago. It's not going to change my life now, but it's cool. And it's very, it's the word I'm looking for, flattering, humbling. But you know the biggest knock against the show?
What?
Is that we are too inside baseball. That when you tune in, you don't know why you should care that Andrew's drinking charged lemonade or why he's fighting with Ranji. You don't know their history. And a good show, a better show, resets the table every day, sometimes every segment, and introduces themselves. And I never do, and I never have. Jeff Allen, who is my old boss, told me the same thing, that you really need to pretend that every listener is listening for their very first time. And I have always gone the other way, and the whole like I get it thing, right? That you're inside, you're part of the story, you're a part of the happy hour, and you know why it's funny that Andrew's drinking charged lemonade, and you know why it's funny that we say this or that about wheels. And so if something keeps us from getting a national profile, it will probably be that. And I just think it's interesting because I've done it, and Steve even kind of blamed me for 97.1. He's like, you've had that effect on 97.1. They kind of do the same thing, and you sort of set the stage for that, and so many people on 97.1 were on your show. But I just think isn't that interesting that one of the knocks on this show is that we're too, people are too into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean... That stinks, but it also, it doesn't make me go like, oh, we should change what we're doing, because I think it's because the show is like that, that people are so passionate about it.
And it's why we get millions of, I told Steve, I'm like, that, I understand what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. And I think the consultants are right, but we also wouldn't be getting 2 or 3 million downloads a year if the show was like what you're describing. Because then it's like every other show.
It's an interesting question. Because having done... a whole bunch of different, like having done a lot of national stuff, that is how you do it. You know, you're always, because you're speaking to a really broad audience just by the geography of it, right? You're not, you know, by the way, it's one of the coolest things and interesting things about being on this show is that it is very different from that kind of format. Very different. It takes a bit.
We start the
to
show
to kind of understand it.
Assuming you know who we are and what we're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is terrible radio. But it's great for a radio show.
I don't know. Don't you think David Letterman like kind of assumed you knew what was going
yeah,
on?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it depends. Like, I don't think one is right or wrong. But I think that they're different for different purposes. And I think it's a great example with a guy like David Letterman. Or for the longest time with Howard Stern. Right? I mean, Howard Stern didn't do... you know, format radio when he was coming up and when he was building a career. And I don't think he does now. People listen to him. They know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's Howard Stern. You know, that's kind of, there's a difference there. And I don't know that one's better than the other. They have different purposes, though.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. As you know, we always try to help law enforcement and anyone in uniform. Sergeant Becky Gardner is joining us now from the St. Louis County Police. It is the 8th annual Blake Schneider Memorial Trivia Night benefiting Need of Aid. It's coming up October 11th, the Moolah Shrine Center. Sergeant, welcome to the show. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I bet we have a mutual friend, Sergeant Francis Gomez. You ever heard of that guy?
I have heard, yes.
That says it all right there, that reaction. Franco was the first drummer in my band 20 years ago, and what a freak that dude is.
He's a good guy for sure.
He's a good man. Tell us all about the trivia night.
So like you said, the trivia is on October the 11th at Moolah, and it benefits Need of Aid, which is a charity for specifically and primarily for St. Louis County police officers and professional staff. And the event, doors open at 6, trivia starts at 7. We have tables with 10 for $250, so it's $25 a person. We have 50-50, raffle, silent auction, food, beverages. Everybody has a good time, so it's a great benefit for our charity.
Very nice. Very nice. Anything, are you doing like a silent auction or anything? Is there anything that listeners, if they can't show up, that they can get involved with and help out at all?
Yeah, for sure. We have a silent auction where if you want to donate something, we are happy to take a donation to put for that. We also have a raffle, kind of an intermix of the two. And you can actually go to our website for the trivia, which is needofaidtrivia.com. And on there, it will give you the contact information if you'd like to make a donation in the form of an auction item or in the form of cash. That's an option as well if you can't attend the event.
Sergeant, talk a little bit about how important and meaningful this kind of thing is for the St. Louis County Police Force.
So this charity helps officers in an unexpected time of need. We have helped officers when they've had a house fire. We've helped officers when their children are diagnosed with some sort of medical condition, and the financial aspect of that is detrimental to them. We can step in and we write them a check, no questions asked, no strings attached. We give them money to use for whatever they need during that time of need.
That is wonderful. One more time, the particulars of what's going on and the website so people can help out and get tickets.
October the 11th, so it's this Friday at 6 p.m. Doors open. Trivia starts at 7. Website is www.needofaid.com. The event actually, the website does close down tonight at midnight. So if you're able to come or make a donation, please do so today. Just logistics-wise, we have to close it down tonight. So I think that's the basics of it.
Excellent. Thank you, Sergeant. Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much, Dave. Have a good one.
You bet. Can't do enough.
No, that's great. And it's funny because, hey, you know, like this is an organization you don't necessarily hear of right off the top of everybody's head, right? But it does a lot of the same things you hear like Backstoppers doing.
Exactly.
And this is very similar to that. And obviously, for those that I don't know if it was mentioned, but it's at the Moolah Shrine Center.
Yes.
So, you know, pretty good spot.
Yes.
You know, everybody kind of knows the name and, you know, get to the website.
I have something going Saturday where I would go. It's been a long time. You know, I've only been to one trivia night that I didn't host.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I've done both. It's way more fun to play.
It's so much more fun to play. Trivia nights are hard to host.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot. I've enjoyed doing all of the ones that I've done, but it's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
You know, most of the crowds are so good because everybody's there just having fun.
Here's the thing I always tell them. Like, when I'm starting out, I'm like, here's the way this is going to go.
Yeah.
You're going to love me for about 3 rounds.
Yep.
And you're going to have the best time.
Yep.
And then in about round 3, you start shaking out the competitors from the people who are just eating White Castle. Then you're going to get annoyed with me. And by round 7, you're going to be so mad.
Yeah. The one thing you do not want to be, though, you do not want to be a judge.
No.
That's where all
being the
drama
host, and that's another thing. I throw the judges under the table immediately.
It's like I'm not making any decisions.
Don't get mad at me.
I'm just reading questions, providing answers, and keeping this thing moving.
Yeah, I need to go to a trivia night.
Yeah, we do them every once in a while. We do a couple a year. They're fun because you're always with friends, and there's lots of food. And you know, I don't think I've ever been a part of a team that won one. Like you know, where you're the big prize winner. But
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, I've never won.
I've been on competitive teams. Which is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're in it at the end.
I've never been on the ones that finish last.
Yeah. You'd be a ringer, though, right?
It depends. Certain things, yeah. Sports, certain types of movies, any rock music stuff, I'm pretty good.
Speaking of fundraisers, for the month of October, I'm an ambassador for Men Wear Pink. There is a link up on our Facebook where you can go and drop in $5 or $10 or $50 or $100 if you've been affected by cancer. Every penny goes to American Cancer Society, so thanks in advance for your help. We picked up 2 more NOTA volunteers today.
Really?
From the DGS.
Very
just
cool.
Since, like,
yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeesh.
Yeah.
You guys are working fast.
All women so far. Let me get a couple of my boys out there to join up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They have special arrangements for veterans. We really need veterans. People love when someone is passing away and they're a veteran, they love to have, and for the care and comfort for people who want to buddy with people. Mm-hmm. Veterans can just talk to veterans.
Yeah.
Which makes total sense, right?
Absolutely.
Thinking. You know how dumb I am? So I have a couch Yeah. I hate to brag.
Yeah, I do too.
Braggerton.
I have a chaise that no one ever sits on. It's where I put my stuff.
Ooh. And then by stuff, you mean things.
The things. Yes, no. I would never put my stuff on the chaise. If you come over.
I just want to know that if I come over, I'm not sitting on that chaise.
You can sit on the chaise. It's fine. It's stuff free.
So you sit on the couch and you avoid the chaise.
Yes, ma'am.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because the chaise isn't pointed at the TV. It's pointed at the couch.
Oh, okay.
Where you can sit and watch someone watch TV.
I see.
Or have a conversation.
But here's where I'm dumb. There's an ottoman. It's one of those, like, it looks like it's made of macrame. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
One of those.
Yeah.
It's one of those sitting by the chaise. And every night when I'm sitting on the couch, I have a heated blankie. I'm very high maintenance. I have a heated blankie and then a blankie and then me and then two blankies. And then I wear my make me feel better socks. Mm-hmm. And it gets a little gamey, gets a little hot. And so I take all that off and I hang my feet over the edge. But I'm like, man, I wish I had something I could put my feet on. And so I've been staring at this thing now for a while. And then just last night, I'm like, I wonder if I could put my feet on that thing made to put feet on.
Mm.
And,
oh.
And I just pulled it over 10 feet and I solved the problem. I've had this problem for 2 years.
Way to go, Dave.
Don't give me credit for being smart, because this is the kind of thing I do in real life.
I would do the same thing if the footrest wasn't built into my couch.
Oh, good. I feel better.
Everyone's just low-key bragging about their furniture in this.
Yeah.
What are the make-me-feel-better socks?
So I have these socks. They're shorties, I guess, or quarter socks or something like that. And they just make me feel better. And so I call them my make-me-feel-better socks. And so if I'm having a hard time or I'm, like the other day when I was having my appendicitis, right, I put those on and they just make me feel better.
All right.
I should market those.
Are they so they're the ankle highs?
Yes, the ankle highs.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't had tube socks in 7th grade.
Yeah.
And then the shorty shorties are just not sock enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I like the shorty shorties. I typically wear those.
Am I cool? I know that there's a thing with Gen Z and the millennials about where socks should hit
you. You're taller than me. You're cooler than me. I think the higher ones are cooler now.
Yeah. That being said, I don't think Gen Z is like, oh, no. I think they judge us no matter what we're doing.
Look at that 60-year-old. He's killing it.
Yeah, let's be honest. Anything that we wear that they would wear, they're going to think looks stupid. Just like we did. If my dad would have worn anything that I was wearing, I'd be like, you look like an idiot. Right?
That's mean.
Well, I mean, he's my dad. I'm going to be mean to him.
Andrew meant that.
Yeah, don't be mean to your dad.
Why?
He's doing his best.
We're bros.
He's doing his best.
Yeah,
most of the time he is, but sometimes.
Is your dad a jeans and t-shirt guy?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much straightforward.
Isn't it amazing? Jeans have been around, what, a couple hundred years? 150 years?
Yeah.
Like the 1850s, something like that?
There's not a single generation that I can think of that jeans aren't fully acceptable.
If I said that jeans were ubiquitous, would I be using that term correctly?
Yes.
Would I?
Pretty sure.
It feels right.
Like always around. When you think of someone, you picture them wearing jeans.
Literally anyone. If you say, picture this person in jeans, I guarantee you there's nobody you know you can't. Because they wear them. No, I mean, like, if you said picture Wheeler in a tuxedo, you're going to be like, I don't think I really can. Yeah, it just look weird. Because
hey,
I do.
I'd look weird. What if I picture someone I know in just jeans?
Right. I mean, it depends on how they're built.
Kevin's like, yeah, you know Jeff from sales? Yeah, picture him in jeans.
Yeah, he looks like Jeff looks great.
He was wearing a nice pair of jeans.
Because everybody wears jeans.
What would be the weirdest thing for any of us to wear at a given time?
Individually or?
Yeah, individually.
Hmm.
Because, yeah, did you say you in a tuxedo?
Me in a tuxedo. The weirdest thing I'm trying to think, that would be it. That or something, whatever is the trendiest thing would look weird on me because I am just not that person.
Well, you look good in anything because you're pretty.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you do.
It's not true, though, because I go shopping and I'm like, this is going to look good. And then those dressing room mirrors,
What do you think you look dumb in?
It just depends. I mean, there's not like a style of clothes where I'm like, oh, I can't wear that. But it's like individual items.
I think
she's being humble, then she can't think of anything.
I don't know.
You say, well, what do you not look good at? And she goes,
Nothing's coming to mind.
I can't really name anything
She's
now.
She's like, jeans, check, dress, check, swimsuit, check.
Can't necessarily
I got nothing.
Call out anything.
I don't think it would be a specific thing. I think it would be more a style that would look weird. Like, you would look weird dressed as, like, a 90s hip-hop person.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Like, that'd be weird.
I would look weird like that. Wouldn't? You're right.
I don't know. I had some of that stuff in the 90s. I look pretty awesome, man. I was fly.
Kevin dressed like Run DMC.
I said that.
I mean, if I dressed like Peaky Blinders, I'd probably look good at that too.
Yeah. Actually, you would look good as a Peaky Blinder.
I would fit in.
Yeah.
I would fit in. I think the harder I try, the worse I would look.
I am in the same boat.
I don't think so.
I would love to see you in like a tuxedo or something. I think you would look really nice.
I can make that happen.
I know you do the whole thing where it's like, I'll only wear the V-neck and jeans to the fancy event, but it's like, I think you could clean up very well if you wanted to.
I'll go to Castelli's and rent one.
What if we went as the Dumb and Dumber tuxedos?
Yeah, nice.
I'll be orange.
251 DGS. You know what I'm kind of curious about? We're bragging about the fact that we all have couches.
Yeah.
Here in the DGS.
Oh, yeah.
We don't sit on the floor. It's been about 5 years since I bought a TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what they got out there now.
So much cool.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, 4Ks. And what, do you have a 4K? They were out then. They were out 5 years ago.
I do. You have 4K.
Yeah.
You don't have curved.
I do.
Right? Okay, yeah. So you've got curved. I think
I still have no idea whether that's a good thing or not. It just looked cool. I'm like, yeah.
It's not a bad thing. You probably have HDR then if you have a curve. You probably have like pretty close to the top of the line still. Because
it hasn't changed a ton, but they've gotten a little better.
There were little jumps. There was, you know, the jump to 4K, mm-hmm. which really only makes a difference if you sit pretty close to it.
So I have a smart TV. I think most modern TVs are. Mm-hmm. With those, you don't have to be hooked up to any cable or anything, right?
No.
You can just like...
hook into your Wi-Fi.
Boom, boom.
Turn on the app, you're in. Just like your phone or a computer.
That's crazy.
It's just a computer. It's a computer with a big monitor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they're probably watching us through it. Just
probably.
I mean,
who's they?
You know, the...
Stephen Becky.
The evil
the man.
People. Stephen Becky.
Could you imagine them, Steve like, just, spying on me playing video games?
Steve just watching
putting
me
my stuff
home.
On the chaise.
Steve just watching me at home and frowning quietly.
First thing he does every night, he comes home, puts the stuff in the chaise.
Like, I can't believe it, but all four of them have couches.
How do these people work here?
They live together like the monkeys.
That would be hilarious.
I distinctly remember Dave telling Kevin today he did not put his stuff on the chaise. And
that's
a liar.
The living together like the monkeys thing. I always think of that whenever you say, like, you'll be out, Dave, and people will be like, where's Andrew?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You guys do everything together.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we do.
I used to get that
own.
All the time. The beginning of the show when producer Tom was on and we were such a team and I would run into someone at Schnucks and they would look around and they'd go, where's Tom? Like, I with his wife, I guess.
3 p.m. on a Saturday.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if we got a copy of the Mystery Machine and we just go anywhere and just all of us roll out?
I'd rather have the Monkey's Mobile.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Mystery Machine's pretty sweet, though.
You have to look it up. I'm sure it's a style of car that existed, but it was all modified to look cool.
One of my favorite shows on Bravo is called Summer House. Mm-hmm. And the concept of the show is on weekends, these people who live in New York, these young people, will drive out to a house in the Hamptons and just all stay at the summer share house together and shenanigans ensue. Yeah. That would be fun to do for the show.
Oh, boy.
Like to just have like, all right,
road
this is
trip.
The weekend house.
That we should do.
We're kind of like that.
We should do a show vacation.
When we went to the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas, we should replay that one for Halloween. And it was us, and Wiggins was on the show then, and we got back pretty late, and Wiggins went out for a milk run.
Yeah, he went out for milk.
And he brought it to me, and he knocked on my hotel room door with milk, and I'm like, this is odd. I invited him in, and things happened, but I'm just going to say.
He invited me to go get milk with him, and I was like, I feel like I should probably say no. And he was like, well, do you want any milk? And I was like, I really don't.
I can vouch. He brought me milk.
I really don't want any nighttime milk in this hotel.
He's like this. Yes? It's Wiggins. I have your milk. Is this code?
I brought the milk.
Did you eat anything with the milk or you just drank milk?
No, I can't just drink milk.
Okay.
No, I think I had some donuts or something like that.
Oh, yum.
Little Mickey's.
There are things you have to have milk with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like cookies for sure.
I think people who just drink it are strange.
Yeah, psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Wiggins.
Like Wiggins, yeah.
He's got to have it to sleep.
We went to stay with some of our friends who are very religious and very proper, and we sit down for a meal, and they're like, now, what would you like to drink? We have everything. We have water and milk. And they weren't kidding. There was not a soda within
milk.
10 miles of that
Dang
cabin.
It!
You got any Diet Mountain Dew?
Guess we can't stay here anymore.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.